Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create Madden.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer have to look at yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the dry.
Schmack dogs.
Good morning, this is the drive with Tay and Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, our good friend Lon Tay, still enjoying the beach down in Alabama.
Said he's listening from the beach right now.
Is he really?
I don't know how true that is, but.
Yeah. What's up, Lon? Hope you got the sunblock on. Hope you got a cold Bud Light. And hope the Floribama has lived up to the hype. I know he was there listening to some live music. I believe that was Friday night. Live music going on from early in the afternoon, all the way until 2:30 in the morning. Lon will, of course, come back with some stories to share. Probably some on the air, maybe some off the air. I'm sure he's not getting in any trouble, but I'm sure he is enjoying himself. But Kyle and I holding down the fort in the meantime. And yet another wild game for Illini basketball to break down. We have made it through the regular season, Kyle. We don't have to do any more projections for the Big Ten tournament, as fun as those were. And I know that you had a large task of, number one, keeping Lon and I in line to pick those games and to go through all the possible scenarios. It was a big undertaking going into Sunday when you had a 7-way tie for second place.
The fact that Northwestern heading into their game against Rutgers at 6:30 last night, if they won, would be the 2 seed, which they did. If they lost, they would have been the 9 seed.
That's unreal. I know that Indiana, who had to go to overtime
right
against Michigan, had they won, they could have been as high as a 2. That would have happened if Northwestern would have lost at Rutgers. They did not. And if they lost, they would have been in the 8-9 game against Illinois. The possible scenarios, we could talk about that, and we will actually break down the real official set-in-stone Big Ten tournament bracket. Illinois will play Thursday, 5:30 p.m. at the United Center against Penn State.
Oh, boy.
Illinois-Penn State Part 3 coming up on Thursday. Illinois, the 7 seed. They were in a tie for 5th place, but due to tiebreakers that went against Illinois, they were not able to hop over Iowa, who, of course, beat them, and so did Maryland. You only got both of those teams once, played both on the road, and fell short. So Illinois is the 7, and they'll have to try to hold up what's kind of the – is it a cliche? I don't know. Is it a wives' tale? I don't know what the right way to call it is, but the thinking usually is it's tough to beat a team 3 times in the same season. Illini fans know that well, and what transpired, I hate to start on a negative note, but 1989 against Michigan, where that Illini team beat the Wolverines both times in the regular season, were not able to do so in the Final Four. Can Illinois make that work for them against Penn State? And what you would think, at least your general way of thinking, if you were to say, all right, Kyle, your path to Saturday is you have to beat Penn State and Northwestern. In any other year or a traditional way of thinking is like, oh, that's a very favorable draw for Illinois. And it might still be one. I think that I'd rather play Northwestern than Indiana to play Purdue if you were to match up with them on a Friday, if you were in that 8-9 game. We'll get into the path for Illinois as we go along, but let's start with a wild one in West Lafayette. Illinois got dominated thoroughly there in that first half where they were down by 21. What was a 7-point lead for Purdue with about 3.5 to go in the first half ballooned all the way to 21 as Illinois just completely unraveled. And it looked like they were just going to get blown off the floor and that it was going to be a kind of an uneventful second half. Just get me to the finish line. Let's get out of Dodge, so to speak. But Illinois stormed back from 24 down to tie the game, had a chance to win down the stretch, did not execute very well. There are so many different ways to break this thing down. Some key plays there in that second half. I know a lot of people will be talking about still today on a Monday that foul by Zach Edey on Matthew Meyer.
I'm still talking about it.
Should have been a flagrant. I saw it. I had a good view from where I was to where Meyer's back was to me. I could see Edey forward facing and see the extension of the arms as he got caught in the air. And I think he was worried about how he was going to land, but also it wasn't a, let me hold on to Matt so I keep my footing. It was full-fledged, shoved to the ground. Meyer hits his tailbone really hard on the floor, only makes one of two free throws. That should have been a flagrant foul. It was a key play in the game. I know later on, in what was a broken play for Illinois with about a minute to go, Shannon ends up driving. Brad Underwood mentioned in the post game that Shannon got hit on the wrist, thought a foul should have been called, but Illinois was not good enough in crunch time to steal that victory. Like I said, 100 different ways to break it down. Kyle, kind of big picture thoughts are just the first thing that comes to your mind after Purdue wins 76-71 there in West Lafayette. I don't think anybody necessarily expected Illinois to win. I thought they had a chance based on the way that Purdue had been playing, and I liked how Illinois came off of the Michigan game. I thought it'd be a close one and one that went to the wire. It was not in the conventional sense, but what'd you come away thinking after another one where it's really hard to have kind of the find a level? This team doesn't find a level. They're on such opposite ends of the spectrum. And I find myself, as you try to find the most reasonable take of this team, it's difficult to find that when you have a team that just is so drastically different at different points in the game.
I'm with you on that. I have to mention first that my prediction for the game on Friday, I predicted Purdue 75, Illinois 70. The final score was 76-71.
Ooh, almost had it.
That's close. And I'll take that as a win. But overall, getting a little tired of having to sit here and applaud a huge comeback from this team. And listen, it coming back from down 24 in the second half and tying the game at Mackey Arena against the number 5 team in the country deserves a lot of applause, and rightfully so. I mean, it was a heck of a second half, a heck of an effort, but it's the pattern of this, to be down 18 at halftime against Northwestern, to get off to a slow start against Ohio State and be down a ton. You didn't come back to win that one. Even Michigan came out and was up, I think, like 10-2 or something like that. And obviously you had UCLA, Texas, all these games. It's applauding a terrible half of a game. And ultimately, that's just not going to fly when we get into the tournament. I mean, if Illinois is down 21 to a team in the NCAA tournament, I don't see it going a similar way that it's gone a couple times this year. And just to come out against Purdue when they have the conference wrapped up, they pretty much have a one seed. I mean, they're not playing for a whole lot there, and you got a lot to play for. And to come out and to turn it over 11 times on Purdue and to be as flat as they were defensively, the fact that, too, Zach Edey sat for half the first half, and you lost the first half by 21, and they made their run when Zach Edey wasn't on the court.
Right.
So it's a positive-negative balance, as it's been a lot this year, where the second half was really encouraging. The fact that they didn't fold over down 24 is fantastic, but that first half was really concerning. And, I mean, Purdue 327th in turnover percentage defense, and you turn it over 11 times and are as sloppy as you did. And I just don't know what to think. I feel like it's a little late now to really continue to be like, oh, that was a great effort to come back. I'd really like to see them not put themselves in these big holes going forward, because it's getting frustrating. And as we've seen here the last couple of times, you're not always going to come back and win when you're. I mean, they've done it. UCLA, Texas, Northwestern come to mind, where they actually did fully dig out of those large holes. But more often than not, you're not going to. And we saw that yesterday. So I'm getting a little frustrated with that. I think something needs to change at the beginning of games.
And we should talk about it. Let's just do that right now. I would say, yeah, you should feel fortunate that you were able to, not to take away from the fact that you had to execute and have the type of defense against UCLA to press them. I thought that was a really good thing from the second half of what Illinois did to Purdue. And I honestly would like to see it earlier in games. It's easy to say now, but as you get into postseason play and think about trying to, number one, combat the slow starts, but try to make some teams uncomfortable. So many of these recent opponents have just been able to settle in so easily with their offense. Michigan was a good example, where Bufkin comes out and hits a three, Dickinson hits a three, McDaniel's starting to get going, hitting those mid-range jumpers. And for what has shown to be a pretty good defense at times, it's not even consistent enough now to say, hey, Illinois has one of the better defenses in the country. They've slipped to where at one point they were top 15. Now they're kind of around 30th in the country defensive efficiency. They've allowed Boo Booey to come out and obviously toast them in the first half. Purdue got whatever they wanted essentially in the first half as far as being able to hit threes. Edie didn't kill them. I thought Coleman did a really good job of battling him inside. And I know
if I told you Edie 17 points, 6 of 13 shooting, 6 rebounds.
6 rebounds only?
I would have thought Illinois had a comfortable win there.
He was minus 10 in the plus minus, and you'll hear from Brad Underwood. He asked the question, and I'll just tell you now. He's like, when's the last time Edie's been minus 10? He's only done that one other time this year, minus 10 or worse, and that was at Maryland when they lost that game. So for the National Player of the Year to not be dominant when the matchup looked like, oh, he could really, really overwhelm Illinois for what we've seen, Trace Jackson Davis, the type of game he had here in Champaign, even in Bloomington, when I thought Illinois doubled him pretty well, Trace was still well over 20 points, double-digit rebounds. Dickinson, of course, had 31 and 16. So for Edie not to do that, that is a tribute to Coleman. I thought Coleman battled really well. He was able to contest and even block a couple of Edie's shots inside. I didn't like Illinois' urgency early. They seemed flat. It was a 11:30 a.m. tip and on the road, but you're in Mackey. Like, I was there pregame. The place was rocking before the ball even tipped. It's the most electric environment in the Big Ten. And like you said, well, Purdue still had a decent amount to play for as far as the one seed, because you had UCLA beat Arizona on Saturday night. They've now won 10 in a row. They were getting on Purdue's heels. I know that Joe Lunardi, and we'll talk about bracketology as we go along, that's kind of the thing to do at this stage, especially we're less than a week away from Selection Sunday, is kind of update the projection where Illinois falls, where some other Big Ten teams fall. Lunardi has Purdue as a 2 seed now, UCLA as a 1. They are neck and neck as they go into conference tournament play to see how that shakes out. But on the Illinois side, it would have stacked up as yet another signature win. We talked about it on Friday. When you think about playing on the road versus the neutral site wins against both Texas and UCLA, you go into that type of environment and beat the number 5 team in the country, that would have been your best win. So I don't understand what's going on with the slow starts. I think there is something to be said for Dane Danger not being effective right now. Illinois' best lineup is when Coleman Hawkins is at the 5, because offensively it creates the spacing in the paint to be able to drive it. And defensively, Coleman can just do so much more, where Dane sits in the drop coverage, but against Purdue, he didn't really even move a whole lot. You'd like your drop to be a big man goes up to around free throw line extended and then starts to fall back. Sometimes Dane doesn't even move. And I thought that Matthew Meyer did not give good energy and focus defensively. Shannon made some mistakes and, of course, was getting his pocket picked by Brandon Newman early. And it showed not having a point guard, as Illinois just turned the ball over constantly and gave up so many points off of turnovers. I don't know what the final number was. Was it 21? It was at least 19 at one point. So that was something where they were just gifting a talented offense.
23.
Runouts, ability to hit transition threes. I don't know. Brad always kind of downplays the starting lineup conversation. He laughs at the media when they ask him about, hey, what do you think about this guy starting? And he said, I could care less about who starts and who doesn't. I think he might want to change his tune on that because they've been down double digits in the first half against Purdue, against Northwestern, against, who else was it? Ohio State and Penn State. For their last seven games, they have been in a double-digit deficit in the first half. They came back against Northwestern. They came back and made it a game against Purdue. But they need to figure out this slow start because it is. I mean, for as much as you hear, yeah, we never give up, we never back down, we have the resiliency. This team, even for as much fatigue as the fan base has to have with it, the highs and lows, they got to be tired of coming back and being in a situation when they're in such a deep hole. Like, and yeah, I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think it's something, I mean, we've seen it. They haven't been able to build consistency. They haven't been able to go into postseason play with tangible momentum, even though we'll hear from Brad Underwood talking later about where he thinks this team is at right now. That is really a hindrance to Illinois playing its best basketball because they get themselves in these slow starts and these big holes.
Yeah, I think it does start with the starting lineup because at this point in the year, we're heading into the postseason. It's March 6th. These guys aren't going to all of a sudden become consistent. Like Coleman Hawkins isn't going to become a consistent player. Terrence Shannon's not going to be – that's not going to happen. I don't think this is a – I mean, this is a team that's prone to just being flat and not showing up. I don't know if that's going to change now. We're on March 6th. I think the one thing you can control is put your best five on the court to start the game. I think that's where it starts, and right now that's not Dane. It isn't, and we've seen that now for about 3 weeks where Illinois' best lineup is Coleman at the five, and the amazing part about what he did yesterday was he's guarding Zach Edey defensively, and then he's bringing the ball up as Illinois' point guard. That's a pretty special player, and honestly, that's where Illinois looked their best, so ride with that. I mean, we're in the postseason. It's winter, go home time. I want to see Illinois' best lineup on the court to start and finish a game. And I know, like you said, Brad Underwood always shrugs it off. He's like, it doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes. Well, lately it matters both because if you're going to dig yourself into these big holes, then it may not matter who finishes because you'll be down too much. You're not always going to come back from down 24. So that's some change I want to see. I want to see Illinois' best lineup start games here. And if Jaden Epps is still out, I think that's R.J. Melendez, Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, Ty Rogers, and Coleman Hawkins is who I think should start for this team. And then Jaden Epps for R.J. if he returns, which I think will be important. If they can get Jaden Epps back, I think you saw yesterday. While Coleman is really impressive in the fact that he can handle the ball, he's got great vision, he has that versatility for you, you don't want to enter the postseason with him as your best point guard, you know. And I know Ty Rogers has looked okay, but he struggled yesterday, and you can't necessarily expect a guy that really hasn't done it to just lead you to a Final Four as your point guard in March. So that's putting a lot on him. So I think getting Jaden Epps back would be huge. I don't know if that's going to happen, but hopefully it does, because I think it is going to be tough to survive without him. But ultimately, these guys have to start games better. And there has to be a bigger sense of urgency. It almost feels like they need to be down by double digits to start feeling that urgency. Mm-hmm. Like, and even you can say that about the coaching staff too, because Illinois only presses when they're down 18. Like, and it works. It that's been the catalyst. When Sincere Harris was picking up Boo Booey 94 feet, caused him a lot of problems. Yesterday, Illinois forced a lot of Purdue turnovers by pressing in the second half. Why not come out with that? Why not try to get out to an 8-0 start by forcing a couple turnovers? You saw what that did for Purdue yesterday when Brandon Newman is hounding him in the backcourt and gets a couple free baskets off of just picking his pocket. Like, I'd like to see that sense of urgency from everybody at the beginning of games, because if this team can have a second half like they did yesterday down 24, imagine if they're up by 10 at halftime and they can put a team away. So I don't want to have to keep doing this where, you know, against Penn State or wherever in the NCAA tournament, even to have to be like, oh, well, that first half they were down 17, but hey, give them a lot of credit. They fought back. That something's got to change here because it's just not going to last that way.
I'm in full agreement with you on the press. Now, I think it's easy for us to say in hindsight the way that the second half played out, the effectiveness of the press. There have been, I think you bring up a great point.
It's been effective a lot this year, though.
That's true. I think you bring up a great point with the way that Sincere was able to, even though it wasn't your, you know, stick three guys at the baseline and have the full court press, just having Harris go after Bowie 94 feet obviously made him uncomfortable and took him out of a rhythm when he had been nuclear on you there in that first half, 20-plus points, and was playing a takeover type of game there on your home court at State Farm Center. I think that the press almost makes you have that urgency. It forces you to fly around, to play with energy, and this team needs that in the early going. I would love to see it against Penn State. I think it makes all the sense in the world to do it against Penn State, where this team gets so comfortable in the half court and putting Illinois in switches and finding post-ups for Pickett and breaking you down and finding shooters, because Shrewsbury runs some really great stuff, and obviously they're a mismatch problem for Illinois. At least they have been. I'm curious to see how it plays out the third time, especially now that Illinois has seen what they want to do and if they can make some tweaks to their lineup. I'd love to see Ty Rogers start on Pickett, play Hawkins at the five, don't have to worry as much about, oh, well, if they have Miles Dredd out there at the five, then and Dane's not going to go out there and cover the three, or if Dane's going to sit and drop coverage against Pickett and he's able to get those shots. I don't think you can just completely bury Dane on the bench, but Hawkins has already been logging 35-plus minutes. I don't think he'd have a problem with starting and leaning heavy on that and putting Ty in that type of situation. Like you said, it is going to matter Jaden Epps' status. I don't know what that's going to be. Brad will be asked about that when we speak to him, I believe, tomorrow going into the Big Ten tournament. But the fact that he wasn't at the game at home against Michigan, he didn't travel with the team this past weekend to Purdue, it doesn't seem like a return is necessarily imminent. I don't know that to be sure, but I wouldn't be surprised based on how the team has talked about the severity of his concussion and what happened there in practice if his absence is going to extend a little bit longer, at least maybe early in the Big Ten tournament, if not through the entire weekend, and maybe you get him back for the NCAA tournament, I'm not sure. But Dane just hasn't been able to give you a whole lot. I do think when you can mix up defenses, I thought that was one thing Illinois did well against Edie, was they came from different spots with their double. And I just think that for a team that has versatility, and we've heard all about it throughout, you know, from the summer on, to be able to do some things and have some unpredictability. And I think if you press teams at times, and if a team doesn't expect you to start out in the press, all of a sudden it can put them on their heels versus Illinois, who is, by letting teams get comfortable, Illinois has been on their heels to start pretty much every game I can remember here of late, outside of like Minnesota at home. But you got to be able to
even flip. That one was, well, actually they started fast and they kind of let them
back in.
I know Nebraska was – it was one of those games where they really started slow even against it. It might have been Nebraska.
Thinking Nebraska at home?
Yeah.
We want to hear from you on the text line, 217-359-2255, the U of I line and link text line. I know a handful of you have weighed in already. Wes says, Ty has to replace Dane in the starting lineup. He also adds, give us Alabama in the second round. Maybe the country will like us, and we will be able to knock them off there in that second round. I like this text from Bill, from Troy. Imagine if I awoke from surgery and the doctor was bragging about how great the second half of the procedure was.
That's a good
analogy.
Good way to say it.
It makes sense. Let me bring this one up from Dan. He says, why does Underwood allow Meyer to pull his shenanigans? His shot selection has been a huge liability. What did you make of – I think – one of my bigger storylines going into this game, as you look at it, and I think it's pretty much the number one thing at the top of my list of what is the recipe for Illinois to go on a deep run. Now, there's the supporting cast, obviously, is very important. I think when you get production off the bench, like when Sincere came in yesterday, Luke Goody, who we're going to talk to actually for our weekly Luke Goody segment, is going to join us at 4:05 on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Excited to catch up with Luke, get his perspective on yesterday's game and where this team is at going into postseason play. But Luke being able to step up and make a couple of threes and just play with great energy. Ty wasn't his best yesterday, but for the most part, Ty and RJ both have trended in positive directions down the stretch. But what I'm getting to is this team is probably going to go as far as Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon take you. I think even as you look at yesterday, those guys didn't have great games, but they were the players that Illinois was going to in crunch time. And one thing beyond even just the slow starts, I think that that's easy to focus on. Illinois really had a hard time late game execution. Like, they could have easily lost that Michigan game because of some mistakes down the stretch where you let a 7-point lead slip away. And in the double overtime in particular, Meyer chucking threes, three after three after three. Shannon takes a bad one, and it just laid out an opportunity for Michigan to come back and win that game. Yesterday, Meyer took too many bad threes. He's 1-for-10 from the field, from deep. And Shannon had a really poor start to the game, was loose with the ball. What'd you make of the performance of the two stars, and where's your trust level right now? And do you have a problem with some of the shots that Matthew Meyer's taking?
Well, neither of them were very good in the first half, especially Terrence Shannon had, I think, 5 points, five turnovers in the first half. And he, I thought he was a lot better in the second half, but I thought Meyer was too. But Meyer never really found his shot yesterday. He was 1-for-10 from three, and I think he was 4-for-4 from two yesterday. So he, that's the issue I had, was like, we've been saying that we've wanted Matthew Meyer to touch the ball in these late game moments on these possessions. So I'm not going to complain about that, but it's the quality of shot when you're 1-for-8 from three and the shot you're getting is a step back three that's contested. I know he makes those, but you know, when you're 4-for-4 getting into the paint, that's what I want to see. I want Terrence Shannon to be aggressive, because Purdue was fouling a lot in the second half. That's part of how Illinois got back into it. They shot 24 free throws yesterday, and Purdue was fouling them quite often, and they were getting to the basket. And so that's what I want to see. And it is. It's Illinois just has not looked good in these late game moments. I mean, even you go back to the Iowa game, the Indiana game, Purdue, and you mentioned Michigan, that they were fortunate to escape with because they were really poor holding on to that lead in regulation. And so we're at a point now where we've made it through the regular season and we don't really know where Illinois is going to go. If it's a tie game in the round of 32 with 40 seconds left, you know, what is Illinois going to do? It's not, that hasn't been laid out. We've known for the last couple of years, Trent Frazier is going to have it in his hands and make a decision last year, or you're going to get inside to Kofi and let him try to score. Io, obviously, hand him the ball, let him do the rest. This year, you just, who knows what's going to happen? Is Matthew Meyer going to take a step back three? Is Terrence Shannon going to be out of control going to the basket? And there hasn't been a lot of moments from this season where they've executed those plays. So I think they got to figure that out. They got to have something. And it sounded like Brad had something. I can't remember what he described in the post game where he had something for Matt that he was going to run. He said Coleman screwed it up, I think.
Coleman went to the wrong side of the floor. He was going to mid-post Matthew Meyer and see how Purdue was going to react to that. But ultimately, Coleman went to the wrong side, and then it was just a completely discombobulated play.
How is that happening on March 5th?
I don't know.
I
know that some of the inconsistency has been tied to Illinois' youth. We're not talking about young players there.
No, we're not. And, yeah, the two guys that you want making decisions and making plays are the three guys, if you want to put Coleman in there, if you're going to initiate through him, are two seniors and a junior, and two of which have been in countless. Now, to be fair to Matt and Terrence, they haven't been the guy that's the go-to guy late in games at their other stops. They haven't been that, but they've had plenty of chances this year, and there really hasn't been one time where, I mean, that's probably unfair, but in terms of that late crunch time, need a bucket, have to get a bucket, Terrence has had a couple of them, but it really, overall, Illinois' percentage in those situations have not been high, and I think that's something that is a concern, because in March, you're going to play those games. It's unavoidable that you're going to be in those moments. So that has to get figured out. I think something defined has to be laid out of this is what we're going to do in these possessions. And it really can't be a Matthew Meyer step back contested three. It really can't be. I don't want that shot as much as I want him with the ball. There's got to be something better you can get with him, or you can run a play for him like it seemed like they were trying to do yesterday and didn't execute.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up some of those other examples. I was, for a story I'm working on a lot of Inquirer, I ran some of the stats, or just the situations that Illinois has been in recently in those tight games. You mentioned Iowa. It was a tie game with 2:44 left. Illinois did not make a field goal the rest of the way. Iowa gets it done. Indiana, 2-point lead with 1 minute and 28 seconds. Illinois has outscored 6-1 the rest of the way. Of course, had a turnover by both Ty Rogers and Jaden Epps down the stretch of that one. Michigan let a 7-point lead slip at the end of regulation. Michigan got chances to win both at the end of regulation, Hunter Dickinson from 3 feet away with 5 seconds to go, and then got the what was essentially the last shot there in overtime as well. And double overtime, Illinois had a lead, but bad possessions late made it a lot closer than it needed to be, and it was in jeopardy at the end of double overtime. And then Purdue, tie game, 1:17 left, 6-0 run for Purdue over the next minute, and that was it. That was all she wrote.
That's got to change.
It's got to change for sure. If you want to weigh in, of course, you can, 217-359-2255. As we break down more of what we saw, I want to hit on some of the positive after this break. We'll talk about Sincere Harris, talk about Luke Goody, talk more about Coleman Hawkins. And then as we project the path for Illinois going forward in the Big Ten tournament, we'll look through the bracket and then also talk about what Illinois has to do to go on a little bit of a run. What do we make of part three of Illinois-Penn State, that matchup as well. And I also want to bring up the updated bracketology. Joe Lunardi put out a new one, I believe, late last night. And Illinois still on a similar seed line, but we can talk about all that he has in that. And something we're going to have to do on Wednesday. We do this every year, Kyle. We do kind of a draft in the Big Ten tournament, picking teams. And if you advance rounds, you get points. Between me, you, and Lon, we'll see who can come up with the best draft, and I'm sure that you think you can beat us, but and it's probably because you can. So we'll see if you can get that done. Before we catch a break, got to do a little work here. Let me tell you about Busey. As spring nears, what a beautiful day today, by the way. Mid-60s, fantastic, not complaining. As spring nears, the sunshine ushers in warmer temperatures. Time to refresh, renew, and restore your home. To start, focus on high impact projects that will give you the most return, whether that's entryways, outdoor spaces, high traffic rooms like your kitchen. Take a tip from Mother Nature and turn up the color. You may not be able to turn the grass green quite yet. We'll get to the green here as the months go on, but you can add color to your home decor, whether that's inside or outside. You can also have the chance to make a great first impression. While you have the paint out, why not bring out the vibrancy, a fresh coat of paint in a crisp color on your front door can be a beautiful wake-up call for your home. Freshen up the outdoor areas. As the weather warms up, we are drawn to the outdoors. You can focus on your porch, get a nice furniture set. A lot to do as we think about spending some more time outdoors, whether you want to refresh your home just as decluttering and updating whatever you have, or whether you need a contractor and want to add on to what you got going on the outside. Busey can help you get started with the home equity loan or a line of credit. You can visit with a Busey loan professional at many of their convenient branch locations or learn more online at Busey.com. When Kyle and I come back, we'll talk more Illinois-Purdue and take a look forward to the Big Ten tournament. This is The Drive.
Hello again, everyone. Let's check weather for Eastern Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, and vicinity. A much-deserved quieter day's worth of early spring-like weather coming off the wild and action-packed weather on Friday. 70-mile-an-hour winds, severe thunderstorm activity, snow, and a coating around here, as expected, and even some accumulation up to the north, which continues to melt away if there's anything left at all. We'll do it in at 64 for the day today in a partly sunny sky, southwest to west breezes as the day wears on. Clouds for tonight, colder weather, northwest to north wind, 35. Chillier days worth of weather tomorrow. Temperatures more seasonal. Same on Wednesday. 47 tomorrow with a peak of sun with a northeast wind. 32 tomorrow night. Clouds back in for the day on Wednesday at 45. Widespread wind-driven rains are back into play as well. Thursday night into Friday. Late day high at 44. Most of that rain late Thursday. And then by Friday, a couple of showers around at 50. Colder weather for the weekend. Limited sunshine. High temperatures right around 40 degrees. For Stephen J. Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Soldier.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I got a Stever for you today. This is unique. From Bulldog Disposal, Phil and Muhammad has a wonderful dumpster business. Now, he has a new invention. It's called the doggy bag. It actually unfolds and can carry 6 cubic yards of garbage or trash or whatever you need to dump. So I'm going to buy you a doggy bag that holds 6 cubic yards. It's canvas. It can hold up to like 2,000 pounds. So I'm going to buy you the doggy bag, and then I'm going to pay for one dump where he comes over with his crane and takes it away. That's over $200 in value, and I'm giving you one if you'd like. Text in doggy bag if you want to be considered for Bulldog Disposal and the Stever offer, a doggy bag that I'll pay for, and then one dump that he'll come and get your stuff. All right, 217-359-2255. Just text me doggy bag to be considered. Doggy bag to be considered. Good luck.
Are you looking for a better job in a dynamic family-owned company? Altamont Company is hiring. Searching for a few great people to join operations in Thomasboro or Rantoul. Altamont offers you a full-time position, not part-time, with available shifts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and Monday through Thursdays, 8 p.m. to 6:30 a.m., offering benefits including health and dental and simple IRA retirement plans. Available jobs at Altamont Company include hand sanders and wood prep. No experience is necessary. Altamont trains on site. Apply online at altamontco.com. Resumes welcome at hr.altamont@gmail.com. On-site applications available. 901 North Church in Thomasboro. Altamont Company, an equal opportunity employer.
Do you feel like your life is in a work zone? Obstacles and potholes are everywhere. Fears, anxieties, hurt. Your world is spinning out of control. Well, take a breath. A personal invitation is yours to release the weight from your shoulders by finding that perfect solution. Muhammad Christian Church offers a freedom group and life change fellowship for you. Absolutely perfect. Meets on Mondays with small men's and women's specific groups beginning Monday, March 6th from 6:30 to 8. And the Freedom Groups will strengthen your walk with our friend Jesus Christ, your perfect solution. Allow Jesus to provide you forgiveness, comfort, healing, and His love and freedom. Remember, Freedom Groups, Monday, March 6th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. We are Muhammad Christian Church, 908 North Lake of the Woods Road, across from the golf course. And for further information, a phone number, and sign-up, please visit MuhammadChristian.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Tay and Piper. Going to get to some Brad Underwood audio here in a second. Also have a clip from Matt Painter. Coleman Hawkins spoke about the mindset heading into the postseason, where he thinks this team is at. Had some interesting comments about the attention that Illinois is not necessarily getting, and this team feeling like they will still go on a run. Again, curious for your thoughts out there. 217-359-2255. At 4:05, we will have Luke Goody join us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone lines to get the scoop from Luke, who played pretty darn well yesterday. I do want to focus on some of the positives from Illinois. You look at Goody in his 16 minutes, 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field, 2 for 2 from 3, had 3 rebounds, was active defensively. He dove out of bounds for tap outs a couple of times. Got called for kind of a ticky-tack foul,
that was
too.
Terrible call.
After the Shannon chase down block, which is really awesome. And then Sincere Harris, very impactful, 21 minutes, 11 points, 5 of 8 from the field, 5 rebounds, really effective in that full court pressure. So what'd you make of the bench production from those guys and just kind of the energy that they were able to inject in the Illini in the second half?
Seems like that's another common theme is in a lot of these comebacks, it's the bench that is bringing energy because some of the starters don't have it. And I think that was the case yesterday. You saw Sincere and Luke on the court when they were making that push. And Luke especially looked like the guy that we thought, you know, and that's not a knock on him in terms of like he's been disappointing. He's working his way back from a major injury, so that was to be expected. But he really looked comfortable out there. How many minutes did he play? He had to play more than 20. I think 21 minutes.
21 for Sincere, 16 for Luke.
16 for Luke, okay. And yeah, to see him go 2 for 2 from three, shoot with a lot of confidence. He was a guy that I could tell Brad loved having on the court because he was on the floor like 5 times in that second half. He was using his length when Illinois was pressing and got his hands on a couple balls. And how about Sincere was leading Illinois in scoring for like 15 minutes in the first half? That's when you know you got an issue.
Yeah, he went to the rim for a putback that he executed. He had a couple of those where he went in there for offensive rebounds, had a nice little runner in the lane and hit a three. I mean, he played with confidence, and
he has been much more confident offensively, sometimes to his detriment.
Yes, absolutely.
But lately, there's been a couple times where it's been a positive. You look at the Northwestern game, he had a big bucket on a take to the rim in that second half there and had a couple. And now I think the fact that he's starting to actually throw some dunks down, and that's given him a little more confidence to attack and be aggressive. So, he's the guy that you just never have to question what you're going to get. If you put him on the court, you know he's going to take pride in picking a guy up at full court or half court. And he's going to bring all kinds of energy. And it seems like that's a guy that you might consider putting in the starting lineup. I mean, to be honest with you, just to give you that energy right out of the gate. We saw that for, what, 4 games back in, like, early January, and it actually went pretty well, I thought. So I don't – that's a consideration too. But, yeah, he's – I love his potential heading into the future if he really is going to play with this much confidence.
If you wanted to hit somebody with that press right off the bat, maybe it makes sense to start Ty and Sincere. Now I'm trying to think if you have Ty,
that might
Sincere,
be an issue offensively for sure.
Hawkins, and then what? Meyer and Shannon would be your starting five. Is that how you'd go?
Yes, I would. If I was considering, because Terrence and Matt and Coleman are all starting, and I want Ty in the starting lineup because I think he's proven that he should be. And then it's that fifth guy while Jaden's out. It's probably between RJ and Sincere. You can make a case, or you could even make a case for Luke at this point if you want that shooting. And so I don't know. It's an interesting discussion.
Brad, we'll get to his opening statement, talked about Coleman's impact, talk about the difference between the first half and the second half, what led to their slow start, what went into being able to come back, as we talked about Sincere being able to impact there in the press that bothered Purdue and were able to create some turnovers, some easy baskets. And he also spoke about Purdue being able to claim the Big Ten outright title. Here's Brad Underwood from West Lafayette yesterday.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Purdue winning the Big Ten title. And we got a heck of a club and deserve to win. I don't know where to start. The 11-0 start, the 24-point run they went on late in the half, the 21-point deficit, the comeback. It's kind of been our story. It's challenging first half. We gave them light ball turnovers. We didn't execute. We didn't run anything. Coleman picking up 2 fouls. In hindsight, should have played him. But he was having to guard Zach. I can't tell you guys how good a player Coleman Hawkins is. It does not show in his numbers. Find me the last time Zach Edey was minus 10 being on the court. Coleman Hawkins was plus 12. Coleman guards him, facilitates offense, played the point for us in the second half, and he was tremendous. But gave him high ball turnovers. We guarded the second half. We settled in and looked like a really good basketball team, making them guard us. We just held the best offensive team in the country to 29% and no threes. And the one thing you can't do in this building especially is give up transition threes. I thought Newman was terrific today. And again, you add Newman to Zach, and I thought we did a great job on Moyer, taking him completely out of it. But it was light ball turnovers was the story of the first half, and then great fight, Sincere Harris, Ty, Luke Goody all sparked us off the bench. And, you know, then we come back, get it tied, and we did not execute anything coming out of the timeout. We had a dribble entry play for Matt. Coleman went the wrong way, and we just weren't able to play out of it. That's on me. I gotta be better than that. I thought Terrence got fouled on his drive. I saw his hand just fly back after he got raked. I thought the Warren kid fouled him. But you're not gonna get those calls on the road. But my hat's off to Purdue, and now it's off to the Big Ten tournament.
Brad mentioned there in the second half, holding Purdue to 29% from the field and no threes. Unfortunately, in the first half, Purdue scored 47 points, shot 62% from the field, 6 of 12 from 3. Brandon Newman was a huge shot in the arm for them, 15 points in that first half, had 3 steals as well, was really getting after Terrence Shannon. Braden Smith had 14 points in the first half. Zach Edey only played 9 minutes in that first 20, but had 8 points, 2 rebounds. You'll certainly live with that, along with, again, going to the bench with 2 fouls. But on the flip side, Illinois' turnovers, lack of energy, offensive execution, allowing Purdue to get some easy baskets in transition. The storyline, Brad mentioned the story of this season, has just been the highs and lows within a game. And unfortunately, the trend has been those slow starts. Brad was asked about what has gone into that and if there's any parallels between the games of what's baked into those for this Illini team.
Well, I don't know if there's a common thread. I think it's been our inability to execute on the offensive side early has been real problematic. And it doesn't matter what we draw up. We practice it the day before. And we just haven't been good enough. You have to execute. You can't just play in one pass and dribble drive against teams in the Big Ten because they're going to be at the blocks and elbows to help you. And it's gotten us in trouble. Today we missed Jaden, the point guard who gets a set of stuff and handles those things. But again, that's no excuse. We've got to do a better job. I've got to do a better job.
As the Illini go into postseason play, again, they are a 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament. We'll play 10 seed Penn State on Thursday at 5:30. To look at the bracketology real quick, Joe Lunardi updated his last night. Illinois projected still as an 8 seed. You would imagine that losing by 5 at Purdue is not going to hurt you. It shouldn't hurt you. And even if you factor in as well the fact that Illinois didn't have its starting point guard in Jaden Epps, that did not hurt Illinois' resume at all. It did sacrifice the opportunity to add a big win. I think Illinois, had they come away with it, would have moved up a seed line as a 7, would have raised their floor regardless of outcome there in the Big Ten tournament, but could have put themselves in a position for a 7 with a 6 seed still a possibility if you go on a little bit of a run and maybe get to Saturday, even Sunday of the Big Ten tournament. But right now, Lunardi has them in the East region. Again, some of the matchups don't matter, but if anybody that cares, Illinois versus Arkansas is what's projected. Arkansas, the 9 seed. The 1 seed in that region, Houston, who Kyle said most dangerous team out there in the NCAA right now, and that site would be in Denver. So, again, some of that doesn't matter, but as far as the seed line projection, 8 seed, Brad spoke about where Illinois is at as a team as they head into postseason play and where he feels like they're trending as it's about to be win and go home mode, both at the Big Ten tournament and then, of course, the ultimate in the NCAA tournament coming up in about a week.
I think we're playing our best basketball. I really think we've shown we can play with anybody in this tournament. And it is win or go home. We're guaranteed, nothing from here on out. So, mistakes we can't make. And I think we've got some guys who've been in these moments before leading us. We'll go fight. I know this. I wouldn't want to play us.
I know this statement has stirred up Illini Twitter, and I don't think it's one that a lot of people agree with. I do want to give my take and get yours as well, Kyle, here in a second. But before we do so, Coleman Hawkins was asked about Brad's comments, the confidence that he's still having in this team, and just to say, hey, I don't think anybody wants to play us right now. Coleman also gave the players' perspective of their mindset going into March, and he said that this team, he still believes, is made for this month and for the NCAA tournament. Here's Coleman Hawkins.
We don't have anything to lose. You know, people have been moving the cameras away from us, you know, putting all the attention on everyone else. But I think this team is made for March. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. And then once that, you know, camera comes back in on us and everyone's starting to talk to us again, and it's screw them. So we have nothing to lose. You know, we're not getting the attention we want. We're not getting people talking about us, but it's all good. You know, I think we're going to be special in March, and just little maturity things that we have to clean up, and I think we could be a great team. So,
I think this team's confidence is fine. I think that you want the belief there in the locker room that they can still go on a run. You want them to be confident going into postseason play. I think we've seen even in the past where Illinois has been a lot bit more of a consistent team. Even look at the 2021 season when they reeled off 15 of 16 and were steamrolling into the NCAA tournament as a one seed. The fact that they felt slighted by the awarding of the Big Ten title to Michigan, and then even after that, I just think that Illinois as a program has done better when they feel like they have a chip on their shoulder. Maybe that's what they need to have some of these better starts, more inspired efforts, not needing to get down. Again, have they needed to wait all the way until this point to have that happen? I think you could argue no. I mean, the cameras haven't really been on Illinois a whole lot recently. And honestly, can you give the national perspective, like the national pundits, crap for not focusing on Illinois? They're seventh seed in the Big Ten tournament. Like, those type of teams don't get the national love. When you're an eighth seed in the NCAA tournament, as far as projection goes, you're not going to get a whole lot of love. You're not going to get a ton of respect for, oh, this team is definitely going on a run. And no one can say that with confidence right now. Now, you can't rule it out either because of Illinois' talent. I want to get your perspective, Kyle, on Brad saying they're playing their best basketball. No one wants to play us. What do you think?
I kind of agree that I wouldn't want to play Illinois. From a one seed or a two seeds perspective, if you're looking down at this Illinois team, I kind of agree with that because we know that this team is capable of quite a bit. We keep saying that, but it's true. If this is their best basketball, though, I think they're in a little bit of trouble. If their best basketball is being down 21 at halftime at Mackey Arena, that's a problem to me. And I don't know. I think, to me, I brush it off as more of, you know, Brad's tried so many different things with this team that, and a lot of them haven't worked in terms of how to motivate this team, how to build some consistency. And now he's trying to instill that attitude of, like, you've been slighted, you got a chip on your shoulder, we are playing our best, we're going to go surprise some people. If that's what he's trying to instill in these guys heading into the postseason, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I disagree with the statement, but I think it was more, I don't know if he necessarily means that more than he is just trying to create that narrative within the locker room, which I think maybe not, but at least give it a try in terms of whether that can spark this team to go on a run here. I think Brad Underwood has had quite the headache trying to push buttons with this team, and he's trying everything. And if that's what it takes, if they need to feel that way, then hey, if it results in a deep tournament run, then I'll applaud that. I don't know. I'm not going to make a ton out of it.
I just think sometimes it works the other way too. It could be a situation where they almost think they're better than they are.
Right.
And when you come out and say, hey, we can win a national title, hey, we're as good as anybody in the country, and you have these shortcomings, these uninspired efforts, these trends of having slow starts, maybe Illinois needs to be like, yeah, we're not the best team out there. We have to make up for that by playing our butts off from the start of games. We got to be able to be the initiator against this team that, you know, Purdue's better than them at this point, and kind of having that self-awareness of we're not the best team out there. You don't have to try to convince yourself that you are. I think it works both ways. But again, you get into a situation where coach is in front of a microphone. Of course, he's going to express confidence in his team. This is nothing new. There is coach speak for a reason. But I thought it was an interesting comment, and we'll see how this team responds. If they come out and they have the right mindset, they show that confidence against Penn State, and they're able to get that revenge against them and go on a little bit of a run, then the narrative changes. The destiny is in there.